past few weeks have been quite tumultuous in the Middle East. A series of events have rocked Israel and the surrounding nations. It began with the pager and walkie-talkie assassinations by Israel's Mossad, killing and maiming Israel's enemies with the very tools they used to communicate their terror on September 17th and 18th. Following this, Israel conducted simultaneous airstrikes in Lebanon, taking out thousands of missile launchers on September 23rd. Israel had continued these strikes on Lebanon's military sites since they began. Hezbollah has launched over 9,200 missiles at Israel since October 7th. Then there was the elimination of Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, with a massive precision bomb attack on his underground complex on September 27th. Iranian Brigadier General Abbas Nilfuashan, along with several other high-level Hezbollah members, were also killed in the attack. Israel struck the Houthis in Yemen on September 30th in response to over 220 missiles attacks against Israel in the past 11 months as well. On Monday night, the Israeli Defense Forces launched special operations into Lebanon to push the Hezbollah back to the Litani River, 29 kilometers north of Israel's border, which no military forces were supposed to cross following the UN Security Council Resolution 1701, adopted in 2006 following the first Lebanon War. On Friday, September 27th, just before the strike on Nasrallah, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu addressed the UN. Netanyahu spoke of Israel's preference for peace, security, and prosperity over war in the region. Let's just listen to a few of his words.
Ladies and gentlemen, as Israel defends itself against Iran in the seven-front war, the line separating the blessing and the curse could not be more clear. This is the map I presented here last year. It's a map of a blessing. It shows Israel and its Arab partners forming a land bridge connecting Asia and Europe between the Indian Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea. Across this bridge, we will lay rail lines, energy pipelines, fiber optic cables, and this will serve the betterment of 2 billion people. Now look at this second map. It's a map. Look at the second map. It's a map of a curse. It's a map of an arc of terror that Iran has created and imposed from the Indian Ocean to the Mediterranean. Iran's malignant arc has shut down international waterways. It cuts off trade. It destroys millions, destroys nations from within, and inflicts misery on millions. On the one hand, a bright blessing, a future of hope. On the other hand, a dark future of despair. And if you think this dark map is only a curse for Israel, if you think that, then you should think again. Because Iran's aggression, if it's not checked, will endanger every single country in the Middle East and many, many countries in the rest of the world. Because Iran seeks to impose its radicalism well beyond the Middle East. That's why it funds terror networks on five continents. That's why it builds ballistic missiles for nuclear warheads to threaten the entire world. For too long, the world has appeased Iran. It turns a blind eye to its internal repression. It turns a blind eye to its external aggression. Well, that appeasement must end. And that appeasement must end now.
Clearly, Israel's choice is for peace and security. This is the picture Ezekiel paints in the latter days in chapter 38, verse 8, describing a land that is brought back from the sword, is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And again in verse 14, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely. Well, Netanyahu is clear on Israel's preference.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the question before us is simple. Which of these two maps that I showed you will shape our future? Will it be the blessings of peace and prosperity for Israel, our Arab partners, and the rest of the world? Or will it be the curse in which Iran and its proxies spread carnage and chaos everywhere? Israel has already made its choice. We've decided to advance the blessing. We're building a partnership for peace with our Arab neighbors while fighting the forces of terror that threaten that peace.
However, Israel is being forced to deal with the existential threat, not just a threat, but real-time attacks by Hamas and Hezbollah. The media paints the picture of Israel as being the aggressor. The United Nations is an institution that is united against Israel, as Netanyahu pointed out in his address.
Standing in this podium 40 years ago, I told the sponsors of that outrageous resolution to expel Israel, "Gentlemen, check your fanaticism at the door." Today, I tell President Abbas and all of you who would shamefully support that resolution, check your fanaticism at the door. The singling out of the one and only Jewish state continues to be a moral stain on the United Nations. It has made this once respected institution contemptible in the eyes of decent people everywhere. But for the Palestinians, this UN house of darkness is home court. They know that in this swamp of anti-Semitic bile, there's an automatic majority willing to demonize the Jewish state on anything. In this anti-Israel, flat earth society, any false charge, any outlandish allegation can muster a majority. In the last decade, there have been more resolutions passed against Israel in this hall at the UN General Assembly than against the entire world combined. Actually, more than twice as many. Since 2014, this body condemned Israel 174 times. It condemned all the other countries in the world 73 times. That's more than 100 extra condemnations for the Jewish state. What hypocrisy, what a double standard, what a joke. So all the speeches you heard today, all the hostility directed at Israel this year, it's not about Gaza. It's about Israel. It's always been about Israel, about Israel's very existence. And I say to you, until Israel, until the Jewish state is treated like other nations, until this anti-Semitic swamp is drained, the UN will be viewed by fair-minded people everywhere as nothing more than a contemptuous farce.
In its moment of need, the world has turned against Israel. If there was any doubt about the rise in anti-Semitism, the fact that the UN has voted 174 times to condemn Israel and only 73 times to condemn all the nations of the world combined in the last 10 years is astounding. With all the conflicts around the world in the past 10 years, ISIS, Ukraine, Syria, Yemen, Ethiopia, just to name a few, how is it possible to take such a position without some kind of underlying poison infecting the minds of the nations? Well, these are the frog spirit teachings described in Revelation 16, 13, and 14, which infect the nations to bring them down to the Battle of Armageddon. We read, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are the spirits of devils or demons, working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Remember, the recreation of Israel has been the work of Almighty God Himself. Remember the words of Ezekiel 38, "In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." Well, the question is, who gathered them? Ezekiel's prophecy gives the answer in chapter 36, verse 11. "I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginning, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Well, Israel's living in the area of Judea and Samaria are scathingly called settlers, and the land is called occupied territories. God calls this area, the mountains of Israel, his land, and the people, his people, and takes responsibility for settling his people there. So, as Israel's prime minister stated at the end of his speech, quoting Joshua,
"To the people of Israel and to the soldiers of Israel, I say, be strong and of good courage. Chizku v'imtzu ve'al tirau mipnehem, ki Adonai Elohecha, hu ha'olech imecha, lo yarapecha ve'lo yazvecha. Am Yisrael chai, the people of Israel live, now, tomorrow, forever." Thank you.
After completing his speech at the UN, Netanyahu returned to his hotel room, where he ordered the successful strike on Nasrallah. Now, Netanyahu had warned during his speech,
"I have a message for the tyrants of Tehran. If you strike us, we will strike you. There is no place in Iran that the long arm of Israel cannot reach. And that's true of the entire Middle East."
Following that, Nasrallah died. Another Haman has been destroyed in his attempt to destroy Israel. On October 1st, Iran fired over 180 ballistic missiles at Israel. Israel's entire population were advised to move to bomb shelters as the missiles targeted every part of the country. Most of these missiles were intercepted with the four layers of defense: the Iron Dome, David's Sling, the Arrow, and the Israeli Air Force. It appears shrapnel killed one Palestinian Arab as it fell. Four other non-life-threatening casualties were reported from the same missile. There are reports of two Israelis receiving minor injuries too. A few of these missiles hit military installations, but no Israeli warplanes were hit. And there were no military casualties. This was one of, if not the biggest launch of ballistic missiles against any nation in one day of any conflict in modern history. Iran's previous attack of 300-plus projectiles included drones and smaller, slower missiles. Yet no Israeli loss of life was experienced. Obviously, God is watching over Israel. Remember the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "The Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And again in verse 7, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." So God has made Israel a nation. God has placed them in the land. Now, for years, Israel has been in exile, but then God brought them back. Israel's enemies will not succeed because although all the world is against them, Israel plus God is a majority. And although Israel will eventually be invaded, God will not let the nation be destroyed. As you read in Zechariah 12, verse 3, "In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though I make all people of the earth to be gathered against it." So even though all nations align themselves against Israel and gather against it, they will not succeed. Although United Nations unites itself against Israel, this is to be expected. The more Israel grows, the more the world hates it. The more it overcomes its enemies, who have been attacking it for years, the more the world condemns it. This enmity or hatred has been ongoing for years. It was there at Ezekiel's time when the Philistines, who occupied the area of Gaza, were fighting against Israel. We read in chapter 25, verses 15 to 16, "Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart to destroy it for the old hatred, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out mine hand upon the Philistines, and will cut off the Carathims, and destroy the remnant of the seacoast." History seems to be repeating itself. It was there when Edom was constantly attacking Israel in chapter 35 and verses 5 to 6 of Ezekiel. because thou hast had a perpetual hated, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, sith thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. Both these passages speak of old hatred or perpetual hatred, using the Hebrew phrase iba olam, meaning enmity from ancient times. This is simply Genesis 3:15 at play on a national level, now that God has revived the nation of Israel. Genesis 3:15, we read, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We can expect the nations of the world to become increasingly hostile to Israel because God tells us that they will. We read in Joel 3, verses 1 to 2, Behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered amongst the nations and parted my land. He is going to bring them into the land for judgment. Israel will go through trying times. But they have been gathered into the land to form the nucleus of the future kingdom of God on earth. We watch all nations forming against them, and against unsurmountable odds, Israel keeps on being victorious. This is God's doing as he brings about his purpose. God is only going to intervene more and more, eventually sending his son to Zion to destroy the host that gathers against it, and then take the battle for the establishment of the kingdom out into the world. We read in Zechariah 14, verse 3, Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. This will be the time when the little stone cut without hands is going to smite the kingdom of men, the image, on the feet, as we read in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken in pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The kingdom will grow to cover the entire world, as Daniel interprets in chapter 2 and verse 44. In the days of these kings, the ones that gather themselves against Israel, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. We eagerly anticipate this day and pray for the peace of Jerusalem until it comes. May God bless all those who bless Israel, the work of his hands, and curse them who curse it. This will be the end result, as we read in Isaiah 60, verse 21. Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. For the Bible and the News, this has been Jonathan Bowen joining you.